This is the Dr. Touch podcast. Episode 8, Christmas in Sight. Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Touch podcast. Today is December 17th, just one more week until Christmas, and these are the news. Swedish national broadcaster SVT created a website at dearstevejobs.com asking Steve Jobs to quickly approve their app. The video demo shows how you can watch Swedish TV shows directly from within their app, possibly this being the problem that Apple has with it. I suspect that Apple might prefer if SVT put the shows on iTunes. Though this is an interesting precedent, and we have seen Apple approve the Knocking video streaming app after the developer wrote an email to Steve Jobs. 9to5Mac reports that about 3%, that's 1 in 34, product searches in the UK are for iPhone or iPod Touch. While this does not mean in itself that all those people are actually getting an Apple device under their Christmas tree, it is still good news for us developers, as it means that interest in our platform continues to increase. And by the way, Apple continues to rake in the cash from way increased sales across all products in the fourth quarter. More people getting Apple devices mean a bigger market for selling apps. Developers report that currently reviews seem to start much faster. One developer tweeted that his app went from waiting for review to being in review within 2 hours after submission. Clearly, Apple has bulked up on their stock of reviewers under the pre-Christmas push everybody is expecting. Tis the season. Apple sent out another reminder email to tell us that iTunes Connect will be closed over Christmas. Dear iPhone developer, iTunes Connect, the tool you use to manage your applications and access your reports, will be unavailable December 23rd through December 28th, 2009. Access to iTunes Connect will resume on Tuesday, December 29th. Best regards, iPhone Developer Program. So if you're doing any kind of Christmas promotion, be sure to make your changes on December 22nd and take note that your reduced prices will have to stay in effect until December 29th. Also, you should sync up your report downloader until the very latest possible day and ignore messages of unavailability until it starts to work again. You also won't be able to submit updates to your apps during this period, and if you want to give away copies of your apps, then stock up on promo codes as well. Some well-known developers report of problems with the update process. One tells us that he decided to have his update have a higher minimum iPhone OS version, but the iTunes servers got out of sync, so they served and permitted installation of the new OS 3 requiring binary on the iPhone OS 2, causing crashing upon app start. We can easily imagine that the formerly pristine ranking went straight down to 1, due to thousands of complaints. This unlucky guy has an installed base of around 70,000 users, a quarter of which is still on iPhone OS 2. Apple has yet to officially respond or take ownership of the damage done. So currently it might be smarter anyway to delay major updates until the new year or as of such time that Apple manages to get the iTunes servers back in sync. Maybe the coming downtime will be used for this as well. We're keeping our fingers crossed. If you ever get feedback from a beta tester that your ad hoc build does not work, then you might be facing a jailbroken iPhone. If the device was jailbroken with Black Rain, we found the following problem. You cannot use the -o kill extra flag for code signing. This optional setting causes launchd to kill the app if the signature is invalid. For an unknown reason, Black Rain apparently prevents ad hoc signatures from being correctly verified, causing this kill to be occurring. To prevent the problem from happening, simply don't do a -o kill for ad hoc builds. App Store builds don't seem to have this problem, as our tests have shown. Speaking of jailbroken device troubles, if one of your customers reports that in-app purchases don't work and that he's getting a message about his account not being a sandbox account, then you know two things. A, it's a jailbroken device. And B, the user has installed an app by the name of AppSync. AppSync allows for syncing pirated apps by patching the installation files to be installable without iTunes. And to do that, it seems to lock the device into sandbox mode if there were no previous purchases. To get in-app purchases to work, tell your user to remove the app, remove App Sync, reinstall the app, and then do the purchase. According to a post on a Cracker forum, the reason for in-app purchases not working is that in order to install unsigned IPAs, they need to patch install D, which in turn causes the described problem. That's good for us developers, because it causes an extra hurdle to appear for people willing to put cracked software on their iPhone. As more and more apps feature in-app purchases, users will have to decide whether they want to be able to use App Sync for easy installation of pirated copies, or if they instead want to have the possibility of purchasing additional content and features for their favorite apps. App tip. Don't forget to open today's window on appventcalendar.com. There you get one free game every day until Christmas. Because of this, I don't give you an app tip today for an external app, but instead like to highlight the Nike Plus app, which is to be found on every iPhone 3GS. For the past 2 weeks, I've been doing a short run every weekday, and I always had the Nike Plus app running so that I can record the running stats for my Nike Plus online profile. If you're running and using an iPod to listen to music or podcast while doing so, I definitely recommend getting a Nike Plus receiver for your shoe. It's like $20 or so. And as a technophile, I can vouch for the motivational effect this has on me doing sports. I was using Nike Plus on my iPod Nano previously, and I was excited to learn that they finally built the receiver into the iPhone 3GS. To enable the whole thing, all you need to do is to stick the chip in some way. No need to get extra Nike shoes, which have the space to put the sender under the sole. You can carve out the space yourself with a sharp knife, or you can use some duct tape to mount it. Because the sender has nearly no weight, it's easy to mount it onto the shoe. Then you can enable the Nike Plus app in the general settings of your iPhone 3GS and you're good to go running. Next time you plug in the phone, the training data gets sent to Nike Plus Online, where you can view stats on how you are improving, and you can take part in events where your distance is counted either as part of a group effort or for yourself in a race. You can also directly challenge other Nike Plus runners, so if you're running and use Nike Plus, then let me know. We'll either go head to head, or maybe we can do a race against Android developers. Performance tip. A few days ago, I reverse engineered Apple's calendar view for use in my own apps. Their 1 month basically consists of up to 31 views, which I was allocating those for every day. And when a day rectangle moved off screen, then I would evaporate them individually. This worked fine on my MacBook Pro iPhone simulator, but it turns out that this is a bad idea on device, because it would noticeably slow down going quickly from 1 month to the next. Generally, if you can avoid this, then do so. Alloc init for views takes relatively long. So what I did for my calendar view was to create a NSMutable set. And before I would call remove from superview on my views, I would first add object them to the set. Next time I needed a day view, I would check the set if there was any object, and if yes, I would reuse this, making sure to retain it before popping it from the set, so that it wouldn't get released. A simple trick like this is quite similar to what you're used to doing with table view cells. But my performance tip of the week is that you can do the same for every kind of view that you like. Just throw them into an unordered and mutable set. In my case, this made my calendar smooth as butter. I found my way of distributing my app sales and anti-crack very rewarding, and so I will be making available the source code for my calendar implementation under the same terms. You donate any amount of dollars you feel appropriate to my PayPal account oliver@dropnik.com. Note that it's meant for calendar view, and I will send you the access details for the SVN, that is Subversion, repository, where I am continuing to develop it. So you get the benefit of getting production-grade code with appropriately defined interfaces, and at the same time, you are able to ask for specific features or customization capabilities that you might need for your work. This way, I myself benefit from your ideas and by learning how to make my interfaces such that they will work for everybody. Clean, reusable code is my goal. Calendar View will be the first of many things in my Dr. Touch parts store, where you can obtain high-quality components to use in your own projects for a small donation. The concept is that this small amount of money pays for the time I need to continue to improve those, support them, and help you with implementing them. Now that's it for today. I hope there was something in it for you as well. I don't know whether I'll be going to make another episode before Christmas. If I don't, then I wish you Merry Christmas and we'll be definitely seeing each other before the next year. For Christmas, I wish for 1,000 new podcast listeners. So it would be great if you would be merry and multiply.